Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 229, part 2 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. Now, the biggest tournament in cricketing history is all set to get underway in India on the 5th of October. In this part, we will focus on the other set of teams: Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Australia, South Africa, Bangladesh, and the Netherlands. So strap your seatbelts and let's get started. Welcome back to part two of our discussion, you know, previewing teams. Now, this segment, again, is quite fascinating because we are looking at Sri Lanka, Pakistan, Australia, South Africa, Bangladesh, and Netherlands, who are, again, very competitive teams who bring so much to the table. So to just kickstart our discussion, let's look at Sri Lanka, right? Now, again, they had a tricky Asia Cup, yet they are a side, you know, that was going through this whole transition phase, but they've really come out stronger, even in the absence of some key players, right? So what are your overall thoughts on their squad and even the lead up to this World Cup?
I think Sri Lanka is really one of the most interesting sides in this World Cup, given the fact that they've won the qualifiers and then they've come here. They've had a good Asia Cup as well, although they ended up losing to India in a game to forget. But overall, they had a really good campaign there. And over the last 1-2 years, I feel they've really, you know, developed and they've come back as a strong white ball side that can beat any side on any given day. I think Dasun Sanaka has done a fabulous job leading them. When you're going through this phase where after Sangakkara, Jayawardene and all of these guys, it's been a real slump. But to pick the team up from there and get them to this position that they are considered as a side that can beat anyone on any given day. In the last 2 years, they've actually been a really, really decent white ball side if you look at it very closely. So I think Sanaka and company have done a really good job in reviving Sri Lankan cricket that way. And if you look at the squad as well, a lot of these guys like, you know, Mahesh Teekshana, Matisha Pathirana, all of these guys, Kusal Mendes, Jananjaya da Silva, Kusal Pereira, all of these guys have been playing around with each other for a long time. So they're gelling really well. And Dunit Velalage, we saw one of those guys who really came up against India, the kind of performance that he put up. And in these Indian conditions, obviously subcontinent conditions are going to favor them. So they have a really good potential in their squad. So Sri Lanka can really a side that can surprise many in this World Cup for sure.
Absolutely. And they're a team that really goes into this attitude of giving their best till the end, which is something that really sets them apart. And if you had to place a SWOT analysis on paper to see, you know, how Sri Lanka is faring across various departments, what would that look like?
I think they have a very good batting lineup to start off with. Like I mentioned to you, if you look at the likes of, you know, Kusal Pereira, Kusal Mendes, Dhananjaya da Silva, Dasun Sanaka himself coming down the order, we have seen him pull off so many games for Sri Lanka against big nations. So I think they've really developed themselves of playing under pressure in the recent past. So their batting is really going to be one of their key strengths, and spin again when it comes to Sri Lanka. Although they are missing out Vanindu Hasaranga, even then, the likes of, you know, Dunit Velalage, Mahesh Teekshana in particular, experience of playing in the IPL as well, and he's really that guy who can bowl well with the new ball and at the back as well. For a spinner to have that ability, someone like an Ashwin or like Mujib, who can be equally lethal with the new ball, who can do damage up front in these kind of conditions, I think they have a really, really good squad that way. But again, if you look at Sri Lanka's weakness, one of their key concerns, weakness, is that they tend to really cripple under pressure. Like we saw in that game in the final, where if they start losing wickets, they just fall like pack of cards. So Sri Lanka will have to really, you know, step up and hold their nerves under pressure. I think that is something that their batters will have to look forward to. And Vanindu Hasara not being there, of course, is a real big miss, because you know he adds both with the bat and the ball, and he had a phenomenal Lanka Premier League as well. And the kind of performance that he gave, the kind of form he was in after that, for him to be missing out the World Cup is a huge loss for Sri Lanka. So that is one of their weak points, if we had to point out. But it's again really a big opportunity for them, because for a team that has a really strong history, they've won the World Cup before as well. And at one point, they were one of the strongest teams in Asia and world cricket as well. So from there to the slump, and now how Dasun Shanaka has brought the team back up, they have a really good opportunity, you know, to have a good campaign at the World Cup. They might not go on to win it, but even otherwise, they can really put up a good show, and they can really spoil the party for a lot of teams. So they have a really good opportunity to revive themselves and utilize the way they have been playing, the momentum that they have in one day cricket in the last 1-2 years. So that is one thing that is a big opportunity for Sri Lanka. Coming to threats, I feel they are going to face a lot of challenge from these teams like Australia, India, New Zealand, England, all of these big teams, because they have more balanced and better squads on paper as compared to Sri Lanka. And they are missing out on a lot of experienced players. Yes, they do have a few names in the squad, like I mentioned, like Shanaka and, you know, Kusal Mendes, Kusal Perera, all of these guys. But they have a lot of youngsters like Velalage, Mathisha Pathirana coming in, and even Mahesh Tikshana, for that matter. It's his first World Cup that he'll be playing. So a lot of youngsters, you know, in the side. So more than experienced players. So I think that is going to be one threat as to how they work out the balance of the side to field an ideal 11. But otherwise, Sri Lanka have a good opportunity, and they have a statement to make. They have a point to prove in this World Cup.
Absolutely. And what is one match that you are looking forward to? Because Sri Lanka against any of the other subcontinent teams is a treat to watch out, because, you know, you don't know what they're going to pull off. But any match that you are particularly looking forward to?
I think Sri Lanka and England.
Okay.
Is one game that I will be looking forward to. Again, because simply because of the fact that the spinners, the subcontinent conditions against these England batters, these phenomenal hard-hitting England batters, it's going to be a test really for their bowlers. And it can really show them where they stand. And if they can come out well against that kind of a team, it's really going to be a big morale boost for a side like Sri Lanka, and it cannot come at any better time when they are, you know, on the rise again. And of course, Sri Lanka against India and Pakistan, like you mentioned, when they are playing Asian teams, it's always more or less, more often than not in the recent times, they've all been nail-biting encounters really. So that is going to be fun to watch. Asian teams in subcontinent conditions is a whole different treat to watch really. That's going to be a really good battle as well. So these are the few games from Sri Lanka's side that I'll be looking forward to.
Absolutely. And what is your prediction on where Sri Lanka will end up this World Cup? Do you see a possible top four selection, you know, in the semi-finals? And, you know, do you see them go all the way?
Comes to Sri Lanka, I think they're really more than New Zealand. For me, I feel Sri Lanka are the underdogs, if you look at it, in this World Cup, because they're coming on a good run, they're coming with momentum, they're gelling well as a one-day squad. Whether they have it to go all the way or not, I'm not sure, because inconsistency is one thing that will really haunt them. If they can overcome that and they can play consistently good cricket, then I do feel Sri Lanka can have a good campaign. But at this moment, I don't see a top four finish for them. But who knows, they can really turn out to be a surprise package. I won't be surprised if they really go on to make it to the top four and, you know, upset a lot of these big teams.
Absolutely. They are one team. You can never really predict how they will end up faring. And that actually kind of brings me to even Pakistan, right? Now, this was a team that was number one in ODI still. Of course, the winner of the India versus Australia series, dethroned them, in this case, India. Now, when you look at Pakistan's journey too, their participation in this tournament and their travel plans to India has also been subject to, you know, the ties that the two countries have politically. And there were a lot of sides to the story that, you know, there is a delay from the Indian side to give them the visas and everything. So how do you look at how everything unfolded and how much of truth was reported in this matter?
So I've actually been reading a lot of reports around this, and while Pakistan PCB claimed that, you know, they did not get the visas on time and all of that, if you actually look at it, it was September 19th that they applied for the visas. So if you have applied it that late, it's obviously going to take time for a procedure to happen because there's a lot of stakeholders involved, because they're coming to play the World Cup, security reasons, you know, there's a lot involved. So it is going to take some time. And obviously, if India is hosting the World Cup, so when ICC gives any nation the hosting rights, you have that rule that you cannot deny any participating team their visas. So it was obvious that they were going to, it's not like India were not going to give them visas to come play the World Cup. So I think there's always drama when it comes to India-Pakistan, and they've just, you know, added more to this drama that will Pakistan play, will they travel to India, will they not? But all that said and done, now I think they've got to show it in their performance, all this drama that has been put up by PCB, really. It's got to translate in their performance, really.
Right. And looking at Pakistan's lead up to this World Cup, now the Asia Cup, right? We got to see some very mixed bag performances from them, some players coming to the fore and some, you know, fading out. So what are your overall thoughts on the squad that has been chosen here and in general, how they're shaping up ahead of this World Cup?
If you look at Pakistan's squad, the top order seems, to be their main strength, with Babar Azam, Fakhar Zaman, Imam Ulhaq. All of these guys have done well, but middle order has been something that always has been a concern that has haunted Pakistan's, really, the batting middle order. So Mohammad Rizwan, Iftikhar Ahmad, Salman Ali Aga, they do have all of these guys, but again, there doesn't seem to be, I think apart from Rizwan and Iftikhar to an extent, someone really in that middle order, you know, who can give them that stability. So it's really going to be interesting to see how their batting shapes up. And they're missing Naseem Shah as well, who's again been in a really good form. And he's one really good white ball bowler that has come up for Pakistan in the recent times. They've called back Hasan Ali. They've called back Hasan Ali for in place of Naseem Shah. So Hasan Ali, again, the reason that Babar stated in his press conference was that we are going with experience of bringing Hasan Ali back. But I don't know how much game time he's had or how much cricket he's really played before coming back into the squad, right? So that is one thing. If he cannot perform, then it only boils down to Haris Rauf and Shaheen Afridi. And both of these guys have injury concerns, injury issues with them. So that could be a real problem, you know, of not having enough options or depth in the squad. But otherwise, again, it is a pretty, you know, interesting squad. The likes of Mohammad Wasim, Saud Shakil, Abdullah Shafiq, all of these guys have an opportunity really to prove at the big stage, particularly for Pakistan playing World Cup in India. So it becomes all the more significant that way.
Of course. I mean, these are class players who will be looking to make that impact as well. And if you had to look at the opportunities and threats for Pakistan, you know, considering you've reflected on the strengths and weaknesses already, what would that look like?
Pakistan's biggest threat for me would be, you know, how they play under pressure, how they carry themselves, the nerves under pressure, because this is history we have seen with Pakistan. They really tend to fall under pressure, and one of those teams who really have failed at handling pressure at the big stage. And once again, I don't see a lot of depth in their batting really after, you know, Babar, Fakhar, Imamul Haq, Rizwan. The middle order has been a problem. And genuine all-rounder Shadab Khan is there, does have the experience, but his form hasn't been that great of late, either with the bat or with the ball. And all of these guys, Salman Ali Aga, Mohammad Nawaz, I don't see them as genuine all-rounders really. So that is something that they are lacking. So the depth in batting the middle order is going to be one of the concerns, and one of their weakness and threats also, like I mentioned, is God forbid Haris Ruff or Shaheen Afridi get injured, then who do they have behind? They just have Mohammad Wasim, Hasan Ali. That's it. They do not have any other names in that bowling, fast bowling lineup as well. And fast bowling has been Pakistan's strength. That is their biggest strength when it comes to white ball cricket especially. So if they will not be able to manage the workload of Haris and Shaheen and their injuries, then it's going to be a real concern. And I think that is the biggest threat for Pakistan. Where do they go from there if a situation like that comes up? It really hampers the entire balance and the look of the side. And then it's really questionable as to how far they'll be able to go.
That is actually a valid concern. They do have problems of depth in certain departments. And I'm sure, you know, they'd keep their fingers crossed to not have their mainstays get injured through the tournament. And besides the India-Pakistan match, is there any other match that you're absolutely looking forward to seeing, you know, Pakistan go at?
Again, Pakistan playing England and Pakistan playing Australia in subcontinent conditions is going to be a really interesting game to look forward to, because the likes of Haris Ruff, Hasan Ali, Shaheen Afridi, all of these guys are really someone who, if they are in good rhythm and at their best, they can really threaten the best of the batters in the world. But again, one point that I'd like to bring up is the lack in spin department. Yeah. If you look at it, they have Salman Agha, Mohammad Nawaz, Usama Mir, but they really lack a genuine spinner. They do not, and that is something they haven't worked on as well. Looking at their domestic circuits, I don't think they've worked to bring out a genuine spinner, say somebody like a Kuldeep or like an Anish Sodhi, like an Adil Rashid. So that is one thing that they are really going to lack, Pakistan, especially playing in subcontinent conditions. I think they should have done better in that aspect in their preparation to the World Cup.
Now, although Pakistan, you know, they enter this World Cup with so much on stake and so much at stake and so much to prove as well, what is your prediction on where they'll end up? Will they be that dark horse that makes it to the semi-final and possibly the finals too?
And there's a really good chance of Pakistan being that dark horse of, making it the top four. But there's an equally good chance of them not being able to do that, because I mentioned Pakistan is really one of those teams, you know, that if they can handle the pressure well, they can go all the way through. But if they fail to handle the pressure, then they are a side that, you know, at times really looks clueless. So if that happens in such a long tournament, also because they seem to be lacking depth in their squad, really, in all three departments, if you see, injuries are their biggest threat even now, even with this squad. So if all of that does not play out in their favor, I do not see them making the top four as well. But again, Pakistan is like one of, they've always been these unpredictable teams. You never know how they'll perform on any given day. So they might as well make the top four, but they are going to be, a really interesting side and really interesting contenders. I am not quite sure if they can go on and win the World Cup, but they do have the potential.
And I think that's something that really makes Pakistan a special team, because you really don't know what they'll bring to the table. So that unpredictability is what makes them a really special side to watch out for. And now, you know, let's move on to Australia. I think any adjectives will fall short to describe this team. They are your five-time champions. And any given World Cup, they are coming in with the tags of favorites, irrespective of what kind of series they've had. Now, I'm contextualizing this with respect to the series they played versus India, you know, before entering this World Cup, where they looked like a very listless side in the first two ODIs. But in the third one, we really saw them fight back, you know, because you most of the times end up thinking, huh, if a team is 2-0 down, the third one might be a dead rubber, but you can never do that with a team like Australia, right? So to just kickstart this now, what are your overall thoughts on the squad chosen by Australia? Because we saw a few last minute changes after this series and their lead up to this World Cup.
Yeah, I think because of a few injuries, they've had to make last minute changes. Ashton Agar is missing out. That will be a huge blow for them in subcontinental conditions particularly. But then if you look at Marnus Labuschagne coming in, he's been in good form in ODI cricket recently. So that really adds to the batting prowess that they have. And also Travis Head is injured and he might not play the initial part of the tournament. But it's good that they've still stuck with Travis Head because he's been a phenomenal batter across formats. We know what Travis Head can do. And he also provides you that spinning option that is always ideal in subcontinent conditions. So, like you mentioned, Australia is one team where it really does not matter what they did in the past coming into the World Cup. They lost five consecutive ODIs before winning that final ODI against India, where you know, they had the likes of Maxwell and Stark and all of these guys coming back. And Australia, again, is definitely one of those teams who are favorites to add to their World Cup trophy collection. If you look at their batting, you know, David Warner, Steve Smith, Marnus Labuschagne, all of these big names really are in the top four. These guys can consistently click. Mitchell Marsh as well, Glenn Maxwell, Marcus Stoinis, really powerful hitters. So they can take apart any bowling lineup on any given day. And then with the likes of Alex Carey, Josh English, these guys coming in down the order, Travis Head at some point, Cameron Green as well. So they have a good set of really, you know, those all-rounders that I was talking to you about. Like you have Maxwell there and you have Travis Head. And now you also have Mitchell Marsh. You also have Marcus Stoinis. They have genuine all-rounders like the English team. So that is one thing that really gives them that edge. And if you look at their fast bowling again, there's Mitchell Stark, Josh Hazlewood, there's Mitchell Marsh, Sean Abbott, good pace. And they have Adam Zampa as well. So again, Pat Cummins. So it's a really formidable lineup, good balance. Again, the one thing that I'm concerned about is a genuine spinner. Yes, they do have Adam Zampa, but apart from that, they do have Glenn Maxwell. But Glenn Maxwell on a good day can bowl you 10 overs. On a bad day, he can't. The consistency, because he's not a genuine spinner. So I think Ashton Agar missing out is a big loss for them. And Adam Zampa has got to be consistent, because we've seen a lot of times if Adam Zampa gets hit, he gets hit for a lot of runs. So that is going to be one concern for Australia. But otherwise, they have really one of the most, you could say they are one of the balanced teams in this World Cup. And Australia always brings that threat because they know how to play big matches. They know how to perform in big tournaments. They know how to handle pressure. And a lot of these guys, again, have played in the IPL. They have all the experience of playing in Indian conditions. So Australia is definitely going to be one of the most threatening teams in this World Cup, obviously, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, in high-stake tournaments, they always bring their A-game front. And as you rightly pointed out, you know, they come in with a very balanced squad with so many options. Having all-rounders is always a blessing with, you know, most of the teams struggling for the sixth or seventh bowling option. You know, Australia has like almost a lot of their players who can bring in the value with both the bat and the ball as well. So now, you know, if we have to look at the opportunities and threats that could possibly be a big stumbling block for Australia, what would that look like?
I think the biggest opportunity for Australia would be to win a World Cup in subcontinent conditions. They've won the World Cup at home. But if they can really win a World Cup in subcontinent conditions for a Sena country team winning in Indian conditions, that is going to be a big achievement really for them. Then it will really, you know, put out that statement that they're not home bullies and they can really, you know, win given whatever the conditions are. So that is going to be the biggest opportunity for Australia really. And for a lot of these guys like Steve Smith, David Warner, Mitchell Starc, this could probably be their last World Cup as well, for all we know. So they would really want to, you know, finish on a high. And one player that I would really, I'm really looking forward to here would be David Warner, because there's been a lot of talk going around Warner, right? His form and him of, you know, really retiring, or like his career's coming to an end, it's done, and you know, people are writing him off and all of that. So David Warner, Davey is really going to be one guy who has a strong point to prove, and he's that kind of cricketer who definitely has that hunger and that spirit. So if he comes out all guns blazing, it's going to be a lot of problem for a lot of teams. But again, injury is, I think, one of the biggest threats for Australia. They've already had an altered and a slightly hampered squad, their final squad, because of injury. And with this set of players, the likes of Mitchell Starc, Josh Hazlewood, if these guys miss out, again, you just have Mitch Marsh, Sean Abbott. Again, you do not have a lot of guys who can replace them if they're injured. The same problem with Pakistan that I mentioned to you earlier with Haris Rauf and Shahin Afridi. So that's a similar kind of threat. Injury is, particularly in their bowling lineup, could be one of their biggest threats. So that is something that they'll have to be wary of. But otherwise, Australia is definitely one team that we see in the top four, and also probably going through and winning the World Cup as well. No doubt about that.
Absolutely. And what is one match that you are looking forward to? An India-Australia match certainly brings in a lot of thrill. But any other encounter that you are genuinely, like, you know, going to be invested in?
India-Australia, definitely, because of the fact that they'll be playing in Chennai. So it's going to be a real test for their batters, how they play out our spinners. But again, Australia, New Zealand, Australia, England, like I mentioned to you, these are two games that everyone genuinely looks forward to. Apart from that, also Australia, Afghanistan, because again, it'll be a test for their batters playing top quality spinners like Nabi, Rashid, Mujib, all of these guys in subcontinent conditions. So I think Afghanistan is one team, apart from India, South Africa, New Zealand, all of these teams that we talk about, that can really challenge Australia in these kind of conditions. So that is going to be a really interesting encounter to watch out for.
And I'm glad you brought the point of Australia versus Afghanistan, because in the recent past, we've seen how Australia is like the one among the very few countries that has actually taken a stance against Afghanistan, because they don't field a women's team anymore. And then there was the series that was going to happen with the men's team. It got cancelled. So these are teams that don't often go against each other. So I think Afghanistan will be coming in, you know, that point to prove playing against Australia. So I'm glad you brought that point up. And before we move on to South Africa, what is your prediction on Australia? I mean, class unit, everything looks good. Do you see a finals finish and a possible chance of a sixth World Cup victory?
Like we've already been talking, definitely there's a chance of Australia to add to that World Cup cabinet of theirs. And they definitely are one of the strongest contenders to win the World Cup and make it to the top four. The only concern, like I told you, is the injury factor. If their key players get injured, I do not feel they have, you know, like for like or as strong replacements. So that could be a concern. And if that happens, we might not see Australia in the top four, or maybe not going on to win the World Cup. But apart from that, everything really, at this point, they are really one of the serious contenders to go on and win the World Cup as well. Especially if they are able to win it in subcontinent conditions. This could probably be one of their greatest World Cup victories among the five that they've had so far.
And the context, you know, having lost the series versus India could be really playing in their minds, and coming from that to winning the World Cup is going to be a fairy tale in itself. And that actually, you know, brings me to South Africa, often labeled as chokers, which is quite an unfortunate tag that they have managed to, you know, maintain for such a long period of time. So what are your overall thoughts on South Africa squad? We see, again, a mix of, you know, new faces with experience in there somewhere, and the lead up to the World Cup as well.
Yeah, like you mentioned, the Proteas, again, are, you know, one side that is always looked as underdogs, and they do play well, but then they choke out when it comes to knockouts, and they even failed to make the knockouts in the previous few editions, because, you know, they are not even in the top four teams to, you know, make the semifinals. If you ask me at this point, I would not be as confident of giving South Africa a top four finish. But then they've had a good series coming into this World Cup, especially the series against Australia after being 2-0 down, to come back and win three consecutive games and win that series 3-2, I think is a huge boost for them. It's a huge confident morale booster, really, to come back in that fashion and, you know, win three consecutive games when you're down and out. Really gives you that kind of confidence that you need coming into such a bigger tournament like the World Cup. And if you look at South Africa's squad, you know, the likes of Quinton de Kock, Riza Hendricks, Themba Bavuma, Henrik Claassen has been in phenomenal form, and Aiden Markram as well. They have David Miller, who's really revived himself, and Kagiso Rabada, Shamsi, so Lungi Ngidi. So they have a really good set of players, Rassie van der Dessen as well. They have a really good set of, you know, batters in their side. But again, I feel the one concern here for South Africa could be their fast bowling, because barring Kagiso Rabada and Lungi Ngidi, I do not see much influential names. Although there is Marco Jansen there, again, tall left-arm pacer, no doubt. But if you look at the kind of impact that a Kagiso Rabada brings, I'm not sure Marco Jansen could bring that over a long tournament. So the fast bowling unit, I think, is one area of concern in that squad. But otherwise, they seem to have a really decent squad. They have good batters in their side. And the conditions as well will really suit them. A lot of these guys have experience, again, playing in the IPL. And the likes of Markram, Claassen, Miller, all of these guys. So South Africa, again, is really looking like a well-rounded batting side.
Absolutely. And now that, you know, you've reflected on the strengths and weaknesses, what are some of the opportunities and threats that could be possibly facing South Africa?
If you look at South Africa's performance in white ball one-day cricket over the last year, they've been a little inconsistent. They've been a little up and down. So this is one really the opportunity that South Africa have. If they can perform consistently well, they could really prove to be a threat for other teams. That is the biggest opportunity they have, is to get rid of the chokers tag. And if you look at the grounds in India as well, most of the boundaries are really not big enough, you know. So this applies even to batters from Australia, England. All of these guys would really, you know, fancy themselves with the power hitting that they bring. And the middle order, I think South Africa, with the likes of, you know, Rassie van der Dessen, Aiden Markram, Claassen, Miller, they have a really strong middle order. So that is one opportunity for them, if they can prove and, you know, consistently do well. The biggest threat for South Africa, again, would be handling pressure, because we've often seen that they fail to do well or handle pressure in knockouts, which is why they have the chokers tag. And I feel apart from Ngidi and Rabada, they do not have much support in the pace attack. There is Marco Jansen, but in a tournament like this, where there are the topmost teams and it's a long tournament as well. So I think, again, fast bowling could be one of the threats for them. But otherwise, there is they do have Shamsi, Keshav Maharaj as well, quality spinners. So there is a huge opportunity, no doubt, for South Africa, because the recent past, they have been performing well. If they can keep up that consistency and if they can carry that momentum, then South Africa could definitely be one of those sides that you see in the top four.
Fair enough. And they are going to be contenders for top four undoubtedly. And is there any match that you are specifically looking forward to? Because South Africa has had some heartbreaking losses when you look at the past edition side versus New Zealand and even versus India, right? They don't have that great of a record. So any matches you're looking forward to?
Definitely South Africa versus India is one game that I will be looking forward to, because like I mentioned, they do possess the batting prowess. They do have those hard hitters. The likes of Klaassen and Markram and all of these guys have been in a really phenomenal form. So how they perform against the Indian bowling lineup in subcontinent conditions is going to be key to watch. And apart from that, also South Africa versus New Zealand is one game, because both of these teams coming into the World Cup are being looked at as underdog teams who do have the potential to make it to the top four. So who knows, it could really boil down between South Africa and New Zealand for all we know, and the game between them could really prove to be crucial in the context of who makes it to the top four. So that is one really interesting game that I'll be looking forward to.
Agreed. That's actually a great angle you bring in, you know, because the top four spot is like, I feel up for grabs with these two teams really presenting themselves as that option. And before we move on to Bangladesh and Netherlands, what's your prediction on South Africa realistically? I mean, we have weighed in the pros and cons and like we've also done the SWOT analysis, right? So where do you think realistically South Africa could land up?
I really feel South Africa could have an outside chance of, you know, really making the top four. The reason being, these teams like Australia and New Zealand have a lot of injury concerns. So if their main players midway the tournament, they do get injured and they are not able to field their best 11s. And if South Africa in that case can keep up their consistency, then they could have a real chance, real shot at actually making it to the top four. So it will also depend on that, but it will also depend on how, they carry themselves as a side. And on paper, they really do have the potential of making to the top four. But again, I have a feeling it would boil down between South Africa and New Zealand really to make it to the top four, apart from India, England, Australia, which is very likely at this point. So that encounter could be really key, like a virtual knockout kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. And considering how most of your predictions come true, we will, remember this and see how it unfolds in the World Cup as well. And that brings us to Bangladesh, right? Now, again, a lot of controversy in the back end, you know, with Tamim Iqbal and Shakib Al Hasan. So how did you put all of this into context, and detrimental considering they're entering a World Cup with unnecessary chatter?
Bangladesh has always, like you mentioned, been one of those teams that are always surrounded with controversy. And I feel Tamim Iqbal is going to be a really big miss for Bangladesh in a big tournament like a World Cup, because he carries a lot of experience and he's one of the best white ball openers in the present era for a long time. He's been around for a really long time. So I feel whatever the issues with the board or the players between him, Shakib, whatever that was, it might really, end up affecting or harming Bangladesh cricket. So, I feel Tamim is a really huge loss straight away for them. But if you look at Bangladesh squad, Even otherwise, you know, they have a lot of these players like Shakib Al Hasan himself, really experienced. There's Litton Das, there's Mushfiqur Rahim. They've called back Mahamudullah Riyad. So that is a really good move, I feel, because again, Mahamudullah Riyad is someone who brings stability in that middle order. Him along with Mushfiq can, you know, really hold and take the innings together for Bangladesh, because they are going to need all the experience that they have if they have to have a good campaign. And if you look at their bowling as well, Shoriful Islam, Taskin Ahmed, these guys have been in really good form, really good and skilled new ball bowlers. There's Mustafizur Rahman as well, and they have a really good spin attack with Nasum Ahmed, Mehdi Hasan, Miraz, Mehdi Hasan, both of them good all-rounders as well. Najmul Hussain Santo as well. So they have a really good balanced squad on paper if you look at it in all three departments.
Exactly. And Bangladesh again, you know, present themselves as this dark horses who can pull off these one-off wins and really upset the whole combination as well. But if you had to look at some of the opportunities and threats that could possibly befall them, how would you look at it?
Bangladesh is one team, you know, that really shows competitiveness when it comes to major tournaments. So, you know, they reached the quarterfinals of the 2015 ODI World Cup, and they had a good 2017 Champions Trophy as well. I think they made it to the top four, if I'm not wrong. So it really shows that they are a side who is capable of performing well. And particularly, what could work in their favor is them playing in subcontinent conditions, and the spinners that they have, particularly against teams like Australia, England. We've seen when Australia have and England, all of these guys have gone to Bangladesh, their batsmen really struggle, and we have really low scoring encounters. And Bangladesh actually beating them at their home soil. We've seen that, right? So I think that is a major opportunity that they have. If they can make use of the conditions, if they can keep all the outside talk outside and not let that really hamper how they play as a team inside during the tournament, who knows, Bangladesh again could really, you know, like you mentioned, cause a lot of upsets, and they could give a lot of teams tough time. But again, the threats that they have, like I mentioned to you earlier, they'll have a strong set of teams that they'll be facing in their group, like Australia, England, New Zealand, South Africa, India. So it really depends on how consistently they play, and with they do have experienced players in their side, but if they cannot keep up that balance and that consistency against big teams like the SENA countries and India, it's really going to be difficult for them. I think the major threat is for them playing these big teams in the group. So it really, which these sides are a lot more balanced compared to Bangladesh if you look at it on paper. So I think that is a threat as well as an opportunity if you look at two sides of the coin for Bangladesh.
Absolutely. And now, you know, Bangladesh playing against any team is an exciting prospect, you know. Playing against Sri Lanka, you remember the whole Nagin dance thing. With India, you don't know what type of a result could possibly come out. They have interesting results versus England as well. So any matches that you're particularly looking forward to, you know, seeing Bangladesh square off against?
Bangladesh against Pakistan is one game that I will really be looking forward to. Again, because Asian teams playing each other, Bangladesh even against Sri Lanka and India for that matter. So they're really going to be interesting games. Bangladesh, Afghanistan as well. But apart from these games, I would actually be very keen in seeing how Bangladesh fare against teams like, you know, England, Australia, and New Zealand. Particularly, they'll be playing New Zealand in Chennai. So the conditions over there could really favor their bowlers. So that is the advantage that they will have. So will they be able to make use of that advantage? If they can capitalize on the conditions there, I think that will be one really good game to watch out for Bangladesh and New Zealand.
Exactly. And now, you know, we'll take our focus on to the last team under focus, and that is Netherlands. Now, Netherlands also had a very interesting run in the qualifiers, as we discussed in part one of this comprehensive discussion. So, how excited are you to see, you know, Netherlands make it to this World Cup, and overall thoughts on the squad?
I think it's a really good positive for Netherlands, you know, come through the qualifiers and make it to the World Cup with teams like West Indies, who were, you know, expected favorites to make it, but they didn't. With teams also like Ireland and Zimbabwe, like I mentioned earlier, these are two very well-established teams among the associate nations. So them not making it and Netherlands, you know, beating these guys and coming up is a really huge boost for their cricket and overall for world cricket as well. That is really good to see them coming up. If you look at New Zealand's squad, sorry, Netherlands squad, they have a really exciting set of players. You look at these guys like Scott Edwards, Max O'Dowd, Bas Dilip. These are all really, you know, free-flowing guys who really are good timers of the ball. They're hard-hitting batters. We've seen Bas Dilip literally turn it around for New Zealand. If not for him, sorry, for Netherlands. Not for him, they wouldn't have even been playing this World Cup, I feel. And even if you look at the likes of Logan van Wijk, there's Roelof van der Merwe coming back. He's had a lot of experience. He's played for South Africa as well. And he's played in the IPL as well. And a lot of these interesting talents like Aryan Dutt, I've seen a lot of these guys, you know, also playing in these T10 and other tournaments. So they have that exposure of playing around with in different tournaments, different conditions. So I think that could really work in favor of Netherlands. Again, one team that has good balance in their batting and bowling, if you look on paper. Again, with spinners and fast bowlers as well, Aryan Dutt, Roelof van der Merwe, Colin Ackerman. So then they have good fast bowling all-rounders, Logan van Beek, Bas Dilip, Ryan Klein as well. So they have a good overall good balance. And on spin-friendly Indian pitches, they have players who can really make good use of the conditions.
Exactly, and they have really proven their growth. You know, in the past few years, we've seen them really produce some fascinating results. So definitely a team to watch out for. And if you had to, you know, put in context some of their weaknesses and even the opportunities and threats part of it, how would you look at it?
So again, Netherlands is one of those teams, you know, that struggles against spinners. Their batting struggles against spin, and that was quite evident in the World Cup qualifiers as well. You know, if you look at the stats, they lost 11 of their 20 wickets to Hasaranga and Tikshana against Sri Lanka in two games. So it's clearly evident that their batters struggle against spin. So that is going to be one weakness and a threat as well, you know, how they really overcome that. Talking about opportunities, I feel this is one team that comes into the World Cup with absolutely zero pressure because there's no pressure of expectation on them. So when there is no pressure of expectation, they can really cut loose and it's like they have nothing to lose. All they have is to gain. So it really gives them that freedom to come out and express themselves. So that way, Netherlands could be one team that can, you know, really cause problems to other teams because they are not carrying that pressure on their back. So they can really play freely, a lot more freely than the other teams. So I think that is their, you know, biggest opportunity to leave an impression at such a big tournament, which could become a testament to their progress, really.
That's actually a great point, and you know, considering the journey they've had through the qualifiers onto this World Cup, they're coming in to this World Cup with not that much baggage as well. But any match you're particularly looking forward to, like I would be looking out for the Sri Lanka versus Netherlands match because you know both of them squared off in the finals. I had this expectation it would be like a very close match, and it was quite a fun encounter too. So any matches you're looking forward to?
I would one particular game I'm looking forward to is Netherlands versus England. This takes me back to 2011 World Cup,
Yeah.
where England also lost to Ireland in that game at Bangalore. So If Netherlands can repeat something like that against England and, you know, again cause that upset that happened in 2011 World Cup, it's really going to add that flavor to the World Cup. It's going to make it all the more spicy that way. So I think that is one game, even against Australia for that matter, that I'll be looking forward to. If they can really come up with good cricket against these teams and, you know, cause an upset or two here and there, then it's really going to make it interesting.
I was hoping you'd not say India versus Netherlands at Bangalore because that's one upset you do not want to see. I think we will lose it if India loses to Netherlands in like Bangalore.
So definitely.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't say that. And do you have any prediction on where Netherlands could possibly end up? Because they are a very, you know, a fast emerging team that's really presenting themselves as strong contenders, if not to win the World Cup, at least to, you know, cause a few upsets here and there. So where do you see them in the table?
Definitely, like I told you, they have all the potential to, you know, beat any team on a given day if they can cause a few upsets here and there. Obviously, I don't see them in the top four, but still they could spoil a lot of things for a lot of teams. More than spoiling it for other teams, I'd like to say, like you mentioned, that it could really be a testament to their progress, and it will really, you know, give them confidence if they can have a good campaign as per their standards at this World Cup. So because they are one team that will have a lot to look forward to after this World Cup. Where they go from here, where their journey goes from here, a lot of it will determine how this World Cup goes for them, will determine a lot of it, right? So that way, I think they have a really good opportunity. Their biggest competition, I feel, will be themselves. Because if they can come out well, play some good cricket, you know, get some momentum, get good confidence, and get a few good wins, then it could really do well for them going forward as a cricketing nation. Because we've seen a lot of these teams like Zimbabwe, Ireland, all of these guys coming up, right? So Afghanistan as well. So Netherlands could also prove to be one of those sides, and how they fare at this World Cup will really, you know, be a big point to the confidence that they can carry going forward.
Adding on to that, like, you know, they're considering the World Cup is happening in India. If they have a few players who really perform well, it could open up opportunities for IPL deals as well, which could be not just lucrative opportunities for them, but even chances to like rub shoulders with players, right?
Definitely. We've seen that with a lot of players from Afghanistan, Rashid, Mujib, all of these guys. So again, if Naveen Ul Haq and all of these guys, so if they have good performances here, definitely they can have IPL contracts, and if they can get to play with these big teams, big players, experience the crowd, all that pressure and that exposure, and they carry it back home and they can share it and spread it with their other teammates, so that could really do good for them in the long run going forward. So that is definitely a really valid point for a lot of these teams, I feel, even for players from Sri Lanka for that matter. Even players from Bangladesh, we don't see a lot of them in the IPL apart from a few of their established players. So they could also be looking at it that way from a development perspective.
And even from an Associate Nations POV, you know, it really opens up opportunities for sponsors, for money to come in for their boards to have more regular matches. Because we see a filled calendar for all your test playing nations. But for a lot of these countries, you know, they actually request boards to come and play, you know, matches against them. So I hope, you know, this is a harbinger of a lot of opportunities for the Netherlands as well. And as we reach, you know, the conclusion of this very comprehensive marathon preview that we've been doing, do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or even a message for our listeners?
Like I mentioned to you at the beginning, I think this is really going to be an interesting World Cup because of the teams and the stages that they are coming through, the likes of South Africa, Sri Lanka, all of them are coming on the back of having a good series. So it's not going to be like, at least I feel it's not going to be like these main four teams, India, England, Australia, all of these guys dominating. And we're going to have a good tournament. There's going to be good competitive cricket because all of these teams have really good potential players in them. And a lot of these guys can be benefited from the subcontinent conditions, really. It all will really boil down to how they can handle the pressure and how they can play in front of big crowds in India, right? If they can really handle that pressure and, you know, stick to their strengths, to their basics, then I think a lot of the teams, irrespective of whether they make it to the top four or not, even otherwise, from that sense, they can have a really good World Cup in terms of progress and the confidence that they can carry from this tournament. A really good learning curve, like I mentioned, for a lot of the players and a lot of teams. So a lot at stake apart from just the trophy as such for the development of cricket overall in this from this World Cup, I feel.
As you rightly pointed, this is definitely going to be a way closer World Cup than any other edition we have seen, because each team brings in their skill sets and it's going to be a lot to look forward to. And as we reach the end of our discussion, I'd like to say thank you so much, Rishabh, for joining me on the podcast yet again, patiently answering those questions I was firing at you and sharing remarkable insights while at it. Here's again hoping to have you back on the podcast. I'm sure you will come back, so I don't have to tell this statement. And until next time, stay safe and take care, Rishabh. Thank you.
Take care. Stay safe. Thank you. It's been really good. I didn't even realize it's been 2 hours already. So it's been really good having this discussion with you or something outside of RCB for the first time on this podcast.
Exactly.
That's progress for me on a personal note as well. But yeah, really, thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Cheers. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this two-part series and for your unstinted support throughout. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. We are now also on YouTube, so please like, follow, share, subscribe and do everything on YouTube as well. Do check out @NEV in the back foot on Instagram and Threads and @NEV in the back one on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.